Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. The presence of the Lord, and I think you'll see immediately here the connection with chapter 4, the book of Hebrews. We'll begin reading with verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I want to preach for the next little while by the help of the Lord. No parking. No parking. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray that the Lord would help us today and strengthen us in the remainder of this service. We need him. We need his touch. Would you help me? Lord God, we look to you, desiring of you, praying, God, that you would minister, that your perfect will would be done. And I'm praying, God, that you would have your perfect way in this service. We know, God, there's a permissive will and a perfect will, and we desire the perfect will of God. We desire, God, for you to move and reveal to us what is right and what you've orchestrated and planned for this service here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And once again, would you give praise to the Lord by clapping your hands to him? Thank you so much for standing, and you may be seated. There comes a point in every life, it's a time that is very pivotal for each of us, and maybe we go through this or we face this more than one time. I would say anybody that lives for God in any length of time would probably face this several times in their relationship with the Lord. But there comes times when you just have to move on. Whether it be in a time of victory, and I enjoy as much as anybody celebrating victories and what God has done. And I appreciate so much prayers answered, things that the Lord has helped us with, and the testimony that we have, the many victories in our past that we can look back to and even encourage us in our present day. I think those things are very important not to forget. But also know that you cannot live in the past. You cannot be a nostalgic Christian and fulfill the will of God in your life. And as much as we've got to move from victory to victory, keep on walking with God, we also have to move on from any defeats that would come to our lives. In the trials and in the triumphs, in the happiness and in the sadness, in the ups and the downs and the plateaus, and in the times of advancement and success, at either extreme, it's not healthy for us to park there or to stay there. In Genesis chapter number 19 and verse 17, the angels of the Lord were dealing with Lot. And I think it's important to point out that they were doing this particularly because of the prayers of Abraham and him praying and seeking the face of God on their behalf to show mercy. And the angels of the Lord were speaking to Lot that he and his family needed to escape for their life. And he said, "Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." The angel of the Lord was speaking to this family and saying that there is a higher place for you. Do not stay in this particular location. Do not stay in this place and intend to survive or to exist or get by here. This is not a place that you need to dwell in very much longer, but escape for your life. Go to the higher place that God has intended for you. Don't stay too late. But the bewildering thing about this particular passage is that the Bible plainly says of Lot that he lingered, He parked there a little too long. And I know there was a lot of things that would cause him to want to linger in this place. Mainly his family, his children. Maybe he was taking this time to try to convince them that they too needed to leave with him. Because we know that there were those that stayed behind in Sodom and Gomorrah and faced the judgments of God without God. And so the scripture tells us that he was instructed to escape and to move on and go to the mountains. The message here is to keep yourself fluid, to keep yourself mobile, to keep flowing, to not ever become static in your relationship with God. It's important that we realize that this is a walk of faith. And then drawing from that passage all the way back there in Genesis 19, Jesus is discussing in his discourse a vivid description of end time events. Many of these things we are seeing from Luke 17 unfold before our very eyes right now as I stand in this pulpit. He is telling of how his coming will take place and how the end time will be, how there will be wars and rumors of wars, and how that all kinds of things will take place that will show the soon coming of the Lord, that will serve as signposts to us that the coming of the Lord is, in fact, drawing near. And then in the midst of his discourse, in the midst of his message, he takes a detour. It's almost like he goes off on a rabbit trail, as we like to say. Or he stops from where he's at and he just begins to go with a different concept and a different idea. And he simply says three words that ring to us throughout the ages as a reminder. He says, "Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife." And it seems so unusual that phrase or those words would be placed in the midst of this discourse. But in like manner, the Lord is bringing judgment to the earth, bringing judgment to the world, and he's speaking to his people. It's important that you not look back. It's important that you not be drawn back. It's important that you stay fully committed. It's important that you keep your focus. There was something that kept pulling Lot's wife away. Advancement was available. There was a miracle that awaited her. She could find deliverance. There was promises of God in her future. But something caused her to look back, even though she was told emphatically not to do so. I know that again, she was drawn to things back there. This was the first time that she had was ever able to have a home, a stable life. She had been the wife of a tent dweller up until this point, moving and sojourning across the land, and finally came and settled in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and had a family there, and there was kids, there was daughters and sons and sons-in-laws that were a part of her family that she was drawn back to or was pulling on her. But some way she was not able to break loose from the pull and the hold of Sodom and Gomorrah. And she turned and looked back, and we know what resulted. We know what happens in the end of that story. I've seen people throughout my life and ministry that get so cemented into certain events, or maybe it's a series of events, or maybe it's a trial or a situation that has came to their life. I've seen people just in the carnal sense, in our world, and talking to people that are not living for God necessarily, not a part of the church. They allow certain situations and certain events of their lives to define them. They allow certain events of their lives to be what the rest of their days hinges upon, and what a tragedy sometimes it is. I remember as a young boy, I had the opportunity of living close for much of my young childhood near my grandparents. Matter of fact, sometimes next door, sometimes just down the road. But my grandmother was an awesome cook, and it wasn't uncommon two or three times out of the week that she would cook dinner for the entire family to come. And my mother and father would go down and then maybe even invited guests, people that was working for my father would be invited, but we'd all come for dinner. And sitting around the table, it seemed like more than not, the conversation would always turn back to this one event. And it's an event that probably affected some of the folks that is here in this building this morning. Or if not directly, I'm sure it has indirectly. My grandfather would talk about the days of the Great Depression. And this was the time period when he was a small boy growing up. He'd talk about how difficult it was. And no doubt these events and the things that happened during that particular time shaped his personality and his outlook on life, and his world view was impacted by the Great Depression. And many times he would make that a frame of reference. You would hear him say something like, well, that was just before the Great Depression, or that was just after the Great Depression. And he could recall certain things. And then, of course, those that came out of the Great Depression. And he would talk about wartime in America. And he would often refer to that. That was just before, just after World War II. It seemed like that was still a very vivid memory. It was indelibly impressed upon his mind. That was a way that he would describe things. That was the timeline for him that he would use. And it doesn't have to be that. It could be other things in people's lives that defined them. It could be a death. It could be a failure that has dogged you from the time that it happened until this very day. It could be someone else's failure. It could be someone else's mistake. Someone else that you had confidence in and such faith in. Now, I know I'm in the Holy Ghost. Everybody's quiet, but I realize I'm in the Holy Ghost this morning. It could be somebody's mistake that you had such confidence and had held in such a high regard. And that could be a situation where you were let down and disappointed by some decision or choice that was made. And as a result, that becomes a defining factor in your life. It could be a broken relationship. Someone that you were connected to in the past and hurt you, or someone that you loved left you. I don't know what it is. Perhaps it's the shattered family, the broken family, and you know the hurt of that, the divorce that took place, and the split up that occurred. And I don't mean to be pulling scabs off anybody's wounds here this morning, but I just feel so led of the Holy Ghost to deal with what I'm dealing with here today. I feel to preach, and I'm going to unload my soul here this morning. I want to help somebody through the help of the Holy Ghost. I can't help you, but the grace of God can reach to where you are, and it can help you, and it can sustain you. And today can be a pivotal moment in your life when you rise above, that you finally crawl out of the pit. This could be the day that you get victory over some things in your life. This could be the day that you finally receive that healing that you've longed for and that you've desired and that you've so needed. Praise the Lord. I don't think we should let one event, one situation, I don't think we should allow one storm or one trial or one particular deal in our lives define the rest of our day. Come on, brother, you got a future. Come on, sister, you got days ahead of you. And with the help of the Lord and through the grace of God, you can overcome and you can be fruitful in life and you can receive the blessings of God and you can see the prayers, amen, answered that you've been praying for and the potentials that you have in God. You don't, as our text said this morning, have to fall short from entering in all that God has planned for you. Amen. You've heard folks talk about the storm that occurred some years ago. I guess it's been, 12, maybe longer, years ago, down in New Orleans and the Mississippi Gulf Coast, how that Katrina just about decimated and wiped out certain areas there. And even here, we were affected by it, the increase of people that came. Matter of fact, there's people that left the city of New Orleans that are now living in Houston and Dallas and different places because they were displaced by this terrific storm that came some years ago called Katrina. Katrina was a very powerful storm on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. It was winds that destroyed, but of course, down in the basin of New Orleans that is somewhat below sea level, a sea wall broke or was in some way breached, and waters come flooding in. And this was a warning that had been there for many years, but you hear people, and I've heard people. Got a neighbor lives right down the street from me that's from New Orleans, and he came here 12 years ago, bought the house down the street from me, displaced by this storm, and you can hear how that their whole entire life changed from that particular moment when the storm comes. When this particular incident took place, when this event happened in their life, from that moment, life was never the same. Life was never the same. They picked up, they moved on, they went on with life, but they still refer to it. It's still there on their consciousness. It's still very much on their mind. And it's become a frame of, 12 years ago, Katrina, 12 years ago, this particular thing happened. I remember preaching down in the Houston area as an evangelist, and I did not realize how long ago it had been, but many of you might even remember or have read about in 1947, in the month of April, the 16th day of April, to be exact, Texas City, there was an explosion of one of those refineries down there. And as a result, over 200 people were killed in that explosion. And it was a blast that was heard 160 miles away. Broke glass out of houses down in Galveston, which is many miles away from there. And this event paralyzed many people, not physically necessarily, I'm talking about mentally. They become paralyzed by it. They had family members that were involved in it. It left a blight. It left a scar upon their life. And if they were not careful, they have settled in to that particular situation. And they've accepted it for what it is. And they've moved no further. They talk about these things. I'm talking about people that have survived these type of situations and events and storms and whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be a physical storm that comes. It could be something that happens that you don't have control over in your life or in your family. Whatever it may be, they park there and they allow that to define them. They allow that to affect and impact the rest of their life. The rest of their days were defined by one day or one moment or maybe a few days of tragedy. I'm going to tell you that's a shame, because there's, again, much more life to be lived. There's much more to be received from God. There's much more that we can possess in the Lord. I don't allow one particular situation. I don't allow one particular event in my life to define me. I don't want to look back on that and say, well, if that had not happened, I could have achieved this. I could have been that. Amen. I could have reached this goal. Come on with the excuses and make up your mind. Amen. I'm going to push on. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to give it to Jesus. Come on, how many knows that you can unburden your heart to the Lord? How many knows that you can pour yourself? He said, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Amen. I'm going to make myself just a little bit vulnerable here. I was going through a period in my life one time that it seemed like everything, the tide had turned. I went through a period where it seemed like the wind was in my back and the blessings of God were flowing and things couldn't get any better. And then hit a little period of time, it seemed like the tide had turned and everything that could go wrong was going wrong, turned against. And I found that my focus a lot of times was talking to other people about these problems and seeking their advice in those problems. And I felt, if I've ever heard from the Lord spoke to me one day standing in my house and said, you need to quit going to everybody else and you need to go to me and you need to give it to me and put it on the altar before me and realize that I can be your advisor. I can be your counselor. I can be your helper. I'll be your friend. I'll be there when nobody else is. And if you'll draw close to me, I'll give you the grace to make it. I'll give you the strength to endure. Amen. I'll bolster you up. I'll bless you. And you'll move on and you'll progress. But as long as you stay bogged down in this pity me attitude, you're not going to get any further. But if you'll pray and seek the face of God, you can progress and go further in the Lord. Oh, I come to talk to somebody here today. Don't get bogged down. Don't get in the slog that Satan wants you to get in. Don't dwell on it and let it eat you up. Amen. But make up your mind. I'm picking myself up. I'm going to enter into the presence of the Lord. I'm going to enter into the grace of God. I'm going to enter into the throne room and receive the help that I need in my time of trouble. If I can do that today, I can find the peace that I need in the midst of a stormy situation. If I could do that today, I can find the strength where I am weak that will help me to endure and help me to overcome. Amen. It's here. It's available for somebody in this room this morning. Praise God. I find that there's two places that people often park, and neither one is good, because parking's never permitted in God's kingdom. It's always a kingdom of progress, moving forward. Amen? But a lot of times people allow defeats and disappointments and discouragements to be the place that they park. And they allow those setbacks, and they allow those things that have gone wrong in their lives, those bad experiences, those hurts, those wounds. They never completely overcome them. Read a story a long time ago about, and I know it's been preached on before, about a redwood tree that was in the redwood forest in California. And if you've ever been there, or you've probably seen pictures, these trees are massive. I mean, they're massive. And some of them ranging hundreds and hundreds of years old. And for no apparent reason, one day, one of those trees come crashing down. And on the exterior, on the outside, didn't look like there was anything that would cause this to happen. And matter of fact, there wasn't any exceptional wind, maybe just a gentle breeze, whatever it was. But when they called in the people that study tree ring chronology, and they began to look and examine this tree, they found that they could tell even the very date, the very year that it happened. They don't know if it was an Indian campfire that had gotten loose and caused a burned place on the inside of that tree. Of course, in that time, it would have been on the outside, but it overcame it to a degree, but it never really fully healed from it. And even though it had survived many other situations, droughts, you could see there was times of massive growth, and there was times when it was leaner years, when it was just basically existing and surviving as a tree because of drought and lack of water. But they found this particular wound, and it was a wound that never really did have the opportunity to heal up. And something they said, as light as a bird landing on the right branch, could have brought that tree down, because it was something internal that was not dealt with. Amen. It was something down deep that they refused, or the tree was unable, nature was unable and refused to deal with there, or could not deal with, and was not healed up. And so the tree was toppled. It died. It was brought to the forest floor. David, the scripture tells us, we know of his failure. We often talk about his sin. But when the prophet confronted him, Bathsheba, of course, was with child, and it came time for the child to be born, and the repercussions and the price tag of his sin was coming to fruition. As he was there and the child was being born, they come and told him that the child is sick. It doesn't look like it's going to live. And the Bible tells us that he went on a fast. He put on sackcloth. He cried out to God. He prayed. He would not be comforted, even to the point that his servants were very concerned. They were worried about him. And then the news came that, in fact, the child had died. There was no hope. And so the servants had the duty of going down and telling David the news. And they were very, very fearful that if he was in this condition before the child actually died, if he was in this condition when the child was just sick, if they told him this news, it would be a crushing blow that would break him. And so they came in the room and they finally told him, and to their amazement, he got up and washed his face and changed his garments, and he went and ate. And they asked him to explain. They asked him to explain. And he said, I just want to tell you it this way. If I could not get the child to come to me in healing, God healing it, and God turning this situation around, then I'm going to live my life from this moment where I can go to it. Amen. And he just made up his mind, if I could say it this way, that this is not going to be a parking zone for me. I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to live the rest of my life. I made some mistakes and I paid for those mistakes, but I'm going to move on. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to be more. I'm not going to stay in this particular place and park here. This is a no parking zone. I got to move on because God is calling me up higher. God has more for me. And we see that God blessed David's kingdom. Amen. And God made him fruitful even after this particular situation in his life. He went on and was still anointed. He was still blessed of God. And the epitaph of his life was not his mistakes and not his failures and not all of the things that he did wrong. But what do we remember him by? We remember him as being a man after God's own heart. Why? Because David refused to park. He refused to stay in defeat. He refused to wallow in past mistakes. He said, I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. Acts chapter 5, the church is really just getting going good. And we found that just after the events of the man in Acts chapter 3 being healed that was lame at the gate, beautiful, that persecution came upon the church. And then in Acts chapter 5, we find that the persecution was ramped up a little bit more and that they were thrown into prison. But God dispatched angels and opened the prison door, the scripture says. And immediately, I want you to notice how this happened. One verse it says that the prison doors were opened. The next verse it says that the apostles were instructed to go to the temple and to preach the gospel. Now, most of us would have given them a little respite here. Most of us would have said, let's give them a little time to lick their wounds. Let's give them a little time to heal up over their hurt. I mean, after all, they've been in prison. Let's make sure they're all right. Let's get a physical exam at least. But the Bible says that immediately they went back to doing the work of God. They didn't fall down into a place of saying, I'm not going to move on. I'm just going to live. I didn't deserve this. I'm just going to live with this defeat. I'm going to live, amen, bewildered. I'm going to live discouraged. I'm going to live disappointed because of this persecution in my life. No! They said, we're going to move on and we're going to keep on preaching because we got a call of God upon our lives, and we're not going to stay here in the midst of defeat. We're going to get right back up and dust ourselves off and go on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible tells us about the Apostle Paul shaking off the venomous beast in the fire and continuing on like nothing happened. I'm going to tell you, the longer you allow something to stay attached to you, the less chance you do have of surviving it, the less chance you have of overcoming it. You need to shake off that bad attitude. You need to shake off that bitter spirit. You need to shake off that anger. You need to shake off that jealousy. You need to shake off that envy. You need to shake off that lack of faith. You need to shake off those circumstances of the past and say, God, for my own sake, oh, for my soul being saved, amen, I gotta move on. I gotta move on. I gotta move on. Can't stay here. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands, church. Let's talk to God. Come on, let's lift up our hands and let's talk to God together. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Deuteronomy 2. The first few verses. The children of Israel have been stuck between deliverance and the promise being fulfilled. Basically, if you study the map, you look, you watch their travels, it's just a big old circle. Just wondering. Murmuring, complaining. Would to God this wouldn't have happened. Would to God we'd have died in Egypt. Would to God this and would to God that. Pointing fingers. Hadn't been for this, hadn't been for that. And finally the Lord speaks through all of this. Says, you can pass this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Come on, it's time to leave. There's no parking here. This is not a place. You can't even survive parking here. You got to move on. You got to move on. Hebrews chapter 4, this text that I read to you from, the first six verses or so, the word enter or entering is used six times. Again, in verse 1, he warns us against falling short. I'm going to tell you, that's one of the most difficult things to witness is people falling short. When you see potential, as a preacher, as a pastor, that's one of the most difficult things to witness and to be on the sidelines watching is seeing people fall short, seeing people that have potential to live for God, have potential to be great for God, have potential to be really used of God. But somewhere along the way, they put it up in park and they stopped. They stopped moving forward. I see people coming to the church. Amen. They make strides towards God, but then they get to a certain point and they say, I'm just not going to commit anymore. I'm not going to go any further. I appreciate all that God has done for me up until this point, and I appreciate the church, and I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful to be a part of the church. Thankful for what I feel at church, but as far as just selling out and going all the way, I'm going to park right here. I can't do that. That's too much. Too much commitment. Too much consecration. When the Bible and the Word of God clearly says there's some things that I need to move on in my maturity with. Amen. If I'm going to walk with God, there's some things I've got to lay aside. There's some things that I've got to dedicate to God. There's some areas that if I'm not careful, I'll stall out in my relationship with the Lord. Amen. The second place that a lot of people park in is they stop in their victories. What do you mean? They prolong and live in some victory of the past when God has so many more things that he wants to do for them. They live on something that happened 20 years ago and they act like it was yesterday when God is saying, you need to step it up and get that in your present day experience. Don't talk about the prayer life that you used to have 20 years ago. You've had all the opportunity in the world to have a greater prayer life right now than ever before. Don't talk about all the revivals that you used to experience and used to have. You've got all the opportunity to have revival right now. As a matter of fact, there's not a greater need for revival, a greater time for revival than right now at this present hour. Don't look back. Don't look back and live constantly in that place. It's okay to look back and remember and be thankful and testify about it, but it always ought to be with the onward look that if God did it then, He's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm not using this as a place to part. I'm using this as a place to catapult me forward and bring me forward in my relationship with God. Amen. Bible tells us about on the Mount Transfiguration, there was certain of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, that Jesus took with him there. When they experienced all of that, I mean, you talk about a great thing to experience. They said, we ought to build 3 tabernacles here. And we need to build a church for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Man, this is awesome. And Jesus said, no, we're not going to stay here on this mountain. We're going to go down where the multitude is. And the Bible tells us clearly that there was a multitude that was waiting down there. And when Jesus got down there, it reports of miracles that were taking place. Because Jesus was telling us something. You can't park here. You can't stay here. You can have as much victory today as you've ever had. You can have as much prayer answered today as you've ever had. Don't let the devil tell you that your best days are behind you. Pick up and go on and see what God would do. Paul, who had seen many victories and many revivals and established many churches, and God had visited in a powerful way. Matter of fact, we know of one time that he was lifted up into the third heaven, the scripture says, and he witnessed things that he didn't feel permitted to write about, but he definitely saw something great and awesome that God did not reveal to too many people. And he said this at the end of his life. He said, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You think I'm going to park here? There's greater things that God wants to do. There's greater things that God wants to show us. I was doing some outreach a few weeks ago, and I was over in the Beverly area, and I went to Lumpkin Street, and I saw the church that this church used to meet in, the building there, and something smote my heart, and I just took a picture. I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget where God has brought us from. But God, I don't want to go back to that place either. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord. I'm thankful for everything that God has done. All of the progress that God has given. Amen. But I happen to believe that we're just scratching the surface of what God wants to do. I said, I believe that we're just scratching the... Does anybody believe what I'm preaching here today? You need to do just what the Bible said. You need to let your faith be mixed with the word that's being preached here this morning. And let it pull you out of that slog that you're in. Let it pull you out of that place of being static. Amen. But God, help me. Help me to go forward in you. Help me to do more for you than I've ever done. Somebody said, well, I don't have the strength that I used to have. I'm not the person that I used to be. I've got more demands on me now than I ever used to have. I was reading in my Bible just the other day about Moses in Deuteronomy 34:7. It says, when he died, he was 120 years old, and his eyes were not dim, nor was his natural force abated. What does that mean? That means that he still had vision. It didn't matter how old he was, how long he'd been in this, how much he had seen, how much he'd endured, how many conflicts he'd been through, how many challenges had come against him, how many trials, how many tests. The Bible tells us that he still had a vision. He said, I'm still looking. I'm still wanting more. I still believe God has greater things. I still believe that there's more out there. I'm not going to stop at this place. I'm not going to park here, but there is greater things. I still have enough strength to pray. I still have enough strength to cut my hands around my eyes and say, God, help me to see what you're wanting to show me. There's a vision. There's a greater place. There's greater things that God has in store for me. got to looking and studying about miracles. I want to see more miracles. I'm like anybody else. I don't want to live my life just looking for a miracle or make that my whole walk with God. Because if God never performed another one for me or I never answered another prayer, He sure answered enough in my life for me to live for Him. But I got to studying about it and looking at it. And it was amazing to me that how miracles and movement go together. Matter of fact, Jesus would call people out and tell them to do certain things that was not easy sometimes for them to do in order to get their miracle. Now, He had the power. I mean, we're talking about He had the creative word in His mouth. All He had to say is be healed. All He had to say is be cleansed. All He had to say. And there is instances where He did so. But I find that He told a blind man one day when He put mud in his eyes. Talk about a peculiar situation. He said, go wash. And He told him the pool to go wash in. That man had to stumble through the streets and find that place. No doubt he was aware maybe where it was because he had memorized certain locations and things and how to get there and how many steps it took to arrive there. But He told him, go wash. Movement. 10 lepers approached Him, cried out that He would heal them of their plague of leprosy. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible said, as they went, not as they were standing there, but as they went, they were cleansed. Lady with an issue of blood struggles her way through a crowd and a mass of people. And the Bible says she pressed that she may touch, if it were not but just the hem of His garment. Staying mobile is important to receiving your miracle. Not building up a memorial in a place and saying, well, right here, this is where I'm going to stay. Don't allow that to become the theme of your life, but be able to move and progress with the voice and the moving of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. You ever wondered what God's favorite word is? You ever wondered? As far as I can tell, and I know that we could say a lot. We could say it's forgiven. Certainly that could be argued. Maybe it's other things that I could refer to as far as words that. But I just think, according to what I see in the Scripture, that the word come has to be right up there at the top. Come unto Me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto Me and drink of the waters of life freely. Come and dine. Peter, come unto Me on the water. Always an invitation. Always saying, if you'll move towards Me, I'll move towards you. The Bible said it this way, if you'll draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. Praise the Lord. And then the greatest invitation of all is found right here in this same chapter that I'm preaching from, the 16th verse, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Does anybody need to find grace to help in the time of need? Does anybody need the strength of God? Would you stand with me right now? Come on, let's again lift up our voices to Him. Let's talk to Him right now. In this house, let's seek the face of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, help me. He said, I've given an invitation. I've called out to multiple generations. He said, I preached this same message before. And He said, they did not allow faith to be mixed with what they heard, and they did not enter in. But one more time, I'm sending the invitation out. Don't park there, but come on. Come to the throne. Come into my presence. Come and experience the power of the Holy Ghost and the touch of God. Hallelujah. You know, there's certain places that they put up a sign that is similar to a no parking sign, but simply says no permanent parking, a loading and unloading zone. In other words, you can stay here temporarily while unloading something, but you can't stay here for a long time. Well, that's much like the altar. It's a place where we can unburden ourselves. And it's also a place that we can be filled back up with the glory and the grace of God, the touch of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, and the help that we need. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've delivered my soul here this morning. I've delivered what I feel that the Lord has laid upon my heart, and I pray you would receive it as such. But God's given an invitation to somebody. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to live there. Come on, don't live in those regrets. Don't live and wallow in those defeats. You've come thus far, and maybe you feel the Lord beckoning you. Come on, I'm asking for a little bit more commitment, a little bit more consecration than what you've been willing to give. Don't stall out here. You've come so far. You've made so many great strides. You've done so much. You've made so much progress. Don't stop now. Don't park here. But come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us. Help us to realize that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us now. Help us to have an open heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to us. Help us, oh God, to get beyond the mortal man that stands in the pulpit and hear your voice. Know that you're calling and know that you're dealing with us. God, I pray it in Jesus' name. The invitation is extended. The call is going out. The doors are open. The throne of grace is available. He said, come boldly. Don't come with your head wagging. Don't come with unbelief that God would accept and God would give us a chance and that God would give us an opportunity and God would help us. But come with faith. Come with a knowledge that God has sent me a message today that He wants me to enter in to His presence. He wants me to enter into His joys, into His blessings. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God, I want to move towards my miracle today. I want to move towards the blessing that you have for me today. I don't want to get to a certain point and not be willing. I don't want to get to a certain point and not go forward in it. I don't want to get to a certain point and stall out. Hallelujah. That's not what you've intended for us. That's not what you want for us. That's not your will for us. Hallelujah. You're calling. You're beckoning. You're dealing with hearts. You're moving on souls. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, it's on us. God's done all that He can do. He's standing. Arms wide open. Willing. Hallelujah. It's up to us. How much longer are you going to carry that? How much longer are you going to keep on excusing yourself in that area? How much longer are you going to keep blaming that particular event and that situation? How much longer are you going to live in the past when you got such a bright future? Hallelujah. How much longer are you going to let some disappointment define you? It's time to move on. Don't park there. Don't stay there. Don't live there. Don't exist there. Don't continue there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I got to move forward. I got to go on in you. I got to become in you what you want me to be. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's seek the face of God. Let's seek the face of God. Let's call on His name. Oh, let's call on His name. I need you, Lord Jesus. I need your help today. I need the strength, the touch of God today. In Jesus' name, I pray you lay your hand upon me. Pray, God, that you would use me for your glory. I need your touch. I need your definite help. I need your blessing and strength in my life. Oh, God, I'm praying that you would lay your hand upon me today. In Jesus' name.